Genesis Trust, a nonprofit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is Atlantis, Part 2, and before we get started, I'd like to mention to you that we have a special offer that I think you'll be highly interested in later, but maybe we better take a look at it a little later and get started with our show. We always like to give credit to the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. The sense of God, of immortality, of subtle inner relationships, and of worship, and the undue sensitivity of modern man is our outstanding heritage from Atlantis. Last time you made some comments that seemed to link Atlantis with the world war of this past century. Could you say more about that?
Yes, there's a fascinating discussion throughout the books of Alice Bailey on the significance of Atlantis. As we said last week, it's a myth that has persisted in human traditions for ages, and even Plato mentioned Atlantis. Supposedly, the United States is the old site of ancient Atlantis, which is interesting. It was located somewhere in the Atlantic, and it's a continent that disappeared in a great flood. Whether or not one believes that that is historically accurate, Atlantis does, according to Alice Bailey, describe a state of consciousness that remains even today. And that explains the significance or the relationship of the world war of the past century to the war on ancient Atlantis. Atlantis was a civilization of people who were almost completely polarized, you could say, in their astral or emotional body. They felt, they sensed, they suffered, they struggled, they desired. Desire for material things especially dominated them. They had almost no mentality at all. And eventually their desire for the material, which was extremely advanced in that society, amazingly so, they lived according to the myths on a level of luxury that we could only aspire to today. Donald Trump would dream in his wildest dreams of the luxuries that they apparently had on Atlantis. But they became so fixated on the material luxuries of life that they lost their way, spiritually speaking. And finally, the society came to an end in a great war between the forces of light, forces of goodwill and spirituality, against the forces of darkness, which were those forces that corrupted the emotional nature of the people and led them into a vortex of desire for material things. And that battle in that state of consciousness continues today, as we can all probably see. People continue to be largely emotional in their consciousness, many people, not all. And that emotionalism and materialism are what have brought us to the present crisis.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to bring up, that how much we have inherited from Atlantis and from the Atlantean experience, because even though this continent has totally been wiped out and there's apparently no physical presence or no archaeological evidence of it existing anywhere, which tends to confuse archaeologists, I suppose, but it's in the memory banks, kind of, in a way, of humanity, and the memory of what happened in the state of life and the state of consciousness as it was at that time is still with us, and we bring these memories with us into every life that we come into, and that's why even though the material part of Atlantis has disappeared, the emotional nature and the all the bad tendencies and the bad practices that were developed at that time are still with us, and we bring them through, the soul brings them through into this life, and they are there, present in our consciousness and affecting the way we think and do things, and particularly at that emotional level. And that's why we have to recapitulate these old tendencies over and over again until we get it right, until we worked our way out of these problems that developed way back millions of years ago.
I wonder if there is also some connection in the fact that, as I mentioned, the United States is the site of the old Atlantean civilization, and many spiritual writings say that a lot of reincarnated Atlanteans live in America, and the fact that the American civilization has reached a crisis point in recent decades, its material power, its economic and political power in the world are unparalleled. And so maybe there's a resolution that's coming up for our attention because of the parallels between the civilizations due to geographical location and the reincarnation of a lot of souls, plus the fact that America today is dealing with a material abundance that is in many ways wonderful, but not equally distributed, and also not shared as it should be with the rest of the world, in my point of view.
Yes, and speaking of the material abundance, it's said that one of the major sins that was developed in the Atlantean civilization was that of theft, and that's because the desire nature became so strong, the desire for things became so strong with the people that they began to steal what they wanted, and so this has developed, and I suppose that's why theft is so prevalent in the world. We still desire these things, and we tend to steal them if we don't have them. So,
well, there are cycles to all of these things, and I often wonder at what point on the evolutionary scale we should place ourselves, because we did live through the Depression of the 1930s, when many people learned through force to do without material things, and they suffered, many of them, but they also probably developed a sense of the simple values in life, followed by the war, World War II, which was a cause of enormous deprivation for millions of people all over the world. I remember reading that Russia suffered so much that a lot of people during the winter of, 1942 were eating roots. It's just unbelievable. They did with virtually nothing and survived. So we've had these challenges in the last 50 or 60 years, and many human beings have been amazingly brave in coping with them. But now here we are again in a cycle of economic largesse that I find disturbing. The distribution is of the world's resources is so unbalanced.
And that's probably a thing that we have to work out, particularly here in the United States.
Yes.
How to really distribute that more that the needs of the world more equitably and evenly, and because being such a material society, we have taken more of our share than what we deserve, perhaps.
Another interesting point about the contrast between the war in ancient Atlantis and the world war of the past century is that apparently in the time of Atlantis, because humanity was so mentally undeveloped and because the spiritual hierarchy, the great spiritually realized beings lived on Earth at that time and were actively involved in human affairs, they decided to intervene on behalf of humanity, and they brought an end to that civilization through the Great Flood that is a myth that persists throughout many different world traditions and religions. The Great Flood that brought an end to that civilization was brought on by the hierarchy's decision. But now, because humanity is so much more mentally developed and has so much more free will, it is left up to us to decide whether we are going to give in to the pull of the forces of materialism, which are the forces of darkness, or choose to follow the forces of light, which are the forces of spiritual evolution and of goodwill and unity as opposed to selfishness. The choice is up to us. And hierarchy apparently is staying out of it. It's a decision and a crisis that humanity has to deal with.
And the decision by hierarchy to retreat to the background was a deliberate one after the great cataclysmic flood that inundated the Atlantean civilization. That was brought on deliberately, as you said, because the forces of evil at that time had really kind of gotten the upper hand, and this flooding of the civilization seemed to be the only way that that could be dealt with at the time. And so as you said, the presence of mind was lacking in these people, and so the hierarchy withdrew and left humanity kind of on its own to develop this this next phase.
In a way, it implies great trust in the capacity of human beings to choose and to choose rightly, but it also suggests the burden of free will. Things aren't done for us. We have to figure out for ourselves where we stand. I remember from the Bible, Christ said, "I come not to bring peace, but a sword." And I've often wondered if that statement refers to the need to choose, to decide what we will align ourselves with.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, Atlantis, Part 2. And with the Alice Bailey literature, there are 24 volumes, and it seems that topics or information about Atlantis runs and is interwoven into many of the 24 volumes. So what Sarah and Dale have done for you is a very nice thing. They've put together a paper for you, more or less extracting information from various Alice Bailey literature, and the paper is on Atlantis. And you're certainly welcome to give us a call and order that paper. We'll send it out to you, of course, free of charge. Just give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. Just ask for the paper on Atlantis, and we'll be happy to send it out to you free of charge. The easy way to remember the number, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Our website, by the way, is www.lucistrust.org. And one of the most intriguing things about the website is that you can key into our archived library of past radio shows. They're all archived there for you, and I think you'll find you'll find a lot of the Alice Bailey themes there, and you'll be able to take a look at them. And also what's important, too, if you like these shows, and many of you have expressed interest in this show, Inner Sight, and if you'd like to keep listening to them, the way we stay on the air is through your donations. So we'd certainly appreciate it if you could continue your support, and we thank you for the support you've given us in the past. And what you have to do is, if you want to send a donation to keep us on the air, send it to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And our most popular book out of the 24 volumes is Ponder on This. And that's the one that's a compilation, kind of a cross-section of all of Alice Bailey literature. And, of course, it's abridged, but it'll give you an idea of the priority of topics according to your interest level, what you find interest in. And to order Ponder on This, we'll give you a discount. All you have to do is mention that you heard the book mentioned on Inner Sight, and we'll give you a discount on Ponder on This. Call us at 1-866-695-8247 or 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. I'd like to return to the show now. And do we have more we can say about Atlantis?
Well, let me just first of all mention, when people want to order the book, they shouldn't use our 800 number. They should write to Lucis Publishing Company.
Oh, okay.
120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005.
$16.
And it's $16. The discount is free shipping and handling. Ponder on This is interesting because it's a compilation of extracts from all of the books of Alice Bailey. It's, I think, our bestseller in all languages that the books have been translated into. And perhaps it's because it covers the gamut of topics, and also it's composed of short extracts, and one doesn't need to read a whole book to get the point. One can just read a passage in the morning when you are having your quiet time, or at night before you sleep. Anyway, that's my little plug for Ponder
on
This.
I want to get back to Atlantis because I'm very intrigued about Atlantis, so I'm going to bring you back to that now. So what more can we say about Atlantis?
Well, we were talking about the war and the need for people to choose. If there is, again, a war going on, and I think there is, between the forces of materialism and the forces of spirituality and light, it's a war that isn't really so clear-cut as in the past. In other words, I think that all of us are a mixture of motivations, and every nation has a mixture of people within its populations. There's no perfection found in any group of people or in any nation. It's a matter of the gradation of values. Some of us give in to desire more easily than others, and we have to decide where we stand and where we want to align our forces. It's a decision that I think every human being has to make.
And that's right. It's a decision that only the people with developed mental capacity can make that kind of decision. And that's the one thing that seemed to be lacking during the Atlantean stage. And that's why the war happened in the first place, perhaps. There just wasn't that discriminating power, discriminating ability of the people. And I like to put this whole thing in context and see the whole process, because it's been a long, long, long process of developing the physical capacity, the emotional nature, and now we're in the process of developing the mental nature. And there's also a relationship here to the, you know, the prayer that we say, that Sarah says at the end of each program, the great invocation, because in that there is a line that says, "Restore the plan on earth." And that plan kind of got off track during the Atlantean experience, because the forces of evil kind of got the upper hand there, and the forces of light had to retreat. And so now this plan is now getting back on track, and it depends on human beings like you out there and all of us here to bring in and open the way for the forces of light to come back into the earth and bring control back to the forces of light. And that's why the importance of the great invocation, because it is a mantra of power and light, and it invokes the very energies that we need today to bring into the world.
Some people find the great invocation too impersonal to really meet their spiritual needs. It doesn't address their personal aspiration and longing, they feel. But when you listen to the words, you realize that it does, in the sense that it addresses the spiritual need of humanity, simply and totally, all-inclusively humanity, its need for light and love and power. And within that context, we are all included. But what's so beautiful about it is that it is an invocation for the spiritual upliftment of all humanity. And it's a way of contributing to what needs to be achieved in the resolution of this crisis that we're talking about, this war, a war of values, we could say, that is underway. It depends on the decision of every one of us to seek a better way of life for the whole, to work for the common good and for right human relations. Those have ramifications that play out in our daily lives, in our jobs, in the way we do our work, in the way we relate to our neighbors, the way we drive our car. I often wonder if driving in traffic isn't the ultimate test of how one feels about one's fellow man. There are many tests that we all meet every day, and we probably fail a lot of them, but we can keep trying to commit ourselves to the greater good and not just pure self-interest.
And I think it's worth mentioning again, we've mentioned it before a couple of times probably, about the force of materialism itself. There is a tremendous force. Now, this hasn't to do with material things per se, but the allure or the attraction that material things have for us. This is the power that we have to overcome. In order to eventually break away and let go of the desire for material things, so that the soul, the human soul, can find its way into the world and bring the qualities of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of souls, really, into the world. That's the great challenge, and that's the major impetus behind the restoration of the plan of God on earth.
People shouldn't misunderstand that we don't appreciate the material gains, especially of the last couple of hundred years. They have made a better way of life and a healthier way of life for countless numbers of people, and that is humanity's achievement using its mind and its creativity. Life on Earth, on the outer planes, in the world of form, is infinitely better and safer and healthier than it was for people even a few centuries ago. But the problem, that Dale is talking about, is the illusion human beings have that the world of form and of material structures is all there is. And this is what we were talking about in our programs on From the Unreal to the Real. This mistaking the outer world of form and material items as the real thing, when in fact the reality is on the inner planes of life. And this was the message of the Buddha, which I think helps us to understand the problem that befell humanity in the Atlantean era. They succumbed to the belief that the material world and the greedy desire for material abundance was going to meet their needs, their spiritual needs. And they suffered terribly as a result of that, and their civilization apparently was brought to an end. Now we have more resources to not make that same mistake. I have a lot of hope in the fact that the United Nations exists, because this is one example where humanity has attempted to work collectively and for the good of the whole. It's the only institution I'm aware of that is truly international in scope, and it's a guarantee that humanity can choose rightly. It isn't a perfect institution, but it's composed of human beings, so how could it possibly function perfectly? But it's all we've got.
And the very fact that humanity did come through and found the United Nations organization back in 1945, or even before then, with Franklin Roosevelt and the servers who were instrumental in founding the United Nations at that time. The very fact that we were able to do that was an indication to the forces of the hierarchy that humanity has indeed sort of turned the corner and was now willing to work together and display a cohesiveness that just wasn't there before and overcome a lot of the separative instincts that seem to govern in human thinking.
It's interesting that in the United States there is such powerful resistance on some fronts to the existence of the United Nations, and there is still this powerful pull to go our own way, to say we don't care about what the rest of the world thinks, we don't need them, we can take care of ourselves and they can take care of themselves. That rather benign, harmless-sounding attitude is, in my mind, playing right into the hands of the forces of darkness and division, because it's the impulse to separate ourselves from the rest of humanity and to say we don't need you and we don't care about you because we have enough stuff to make ourselves happy. We have to really watch that impulse, and it's right here in old Atlantis, still at work.
Yeah, and separativeness is said to be the major sin against God and against the actions of God.
And we can all watch for its working out in our own lives and consciousness.
And once again, we have a gift for you today. It's a paper on Atlantis. Sarandale, we're nice enough to put it together for you. It's information about Atlantis taken from the books of Alice Bailey and all put together in one paper. It's called Atlantis, and if you would like the paper, it's of course free of charge. Give us a call and order the paper at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. And also you can take advantage of the discount on the book. Ponder on this, $16 if you mention that you heard it on Inner Sight, and send the $16 in form of check or money order to LUCIS Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, that's with free shipping if you mention you heard it on Inner Sight. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.